Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The Washington Post calls our next guest one of the most talented crime writers alive. Why should we argue with that? Tana French is the author of four best-selling, critically acclaimed, and award-winning novels in which she has mastered the psychology of the criminal mind. Her new novel, The Secret Place, is her latest addition to the Dublin Mystery Squad series. Her last novel, Broken Harbor, won the 2012 Los Angeles Times Book Prize for Best Mystery Thriller. Her first novel, In the Woods, won the Edgar, Clarion, McCavity, Anthony, and Barry Awards and was a finalist for the LA Times Book Prize for Best Mystery Thriller. The Secret Place is a gripping mystery set at a girls' boarding school. It is always a pleasure to welcome Tana French back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me back.
It's very nice to have you here. You've been on for every book, every novel in this series, and it seems to me, and I will... I'm leading you here, but I will say the books just seem to be getting better and better. And I love the series, and you become so invested in these characters, and they're just so much fun to read. Which leads me to the question to you, which is, I assume you're still having a hell of a lot of fun doing this.
Yes, I really, really am. It's a wonderful way to spend your time. I like mysteries. Like, I've always loved them. I love solved, unsolved, real, fictional, I don't care. And this means that I get to spend my time not only looking for the potential mystery in everything, including normal, everyday things, because that's where I find my ideas, is imagining potential mysteries and things, but then I get to spend my time thinking about mysteries, writing about them, thinking about the impact they have on people's lives, on the lives of everyone who gets mixed up in them, on what they mean to us as human beings. I mean, this is a really lovely way to spend your time. It's fascinating.
So at what point do you come up with an idea where that there is this place, this secret place, where people can share things and reveal secrets that otherwise would be kept hidden from the outside world?
That came from a website. Somebody told me about a website called postsecret.com, and it's a fascinating site. People send in postcards of secrets that they want to reveal, but reveal anonymously. So these cards are very creative and very beautiful, and the secrets can be anything. Some are disturbing, they're painful, they're moving, they're funny, they're silly, they're all of those at once sometimes. And it made me think that this two-way pull is right at the heart of human nature. We all want to reveal our secrets to be known deeply, but we all want to keep our secrets inviolate. We all want to keep a kind of privacy. And this website has achieved the incredible thing of letting people do both at once. So I started thinking about the teenage years, which I think is when that two-way pull is at its most intense. Adolescence is all about secrets and what you do with them, what do you reveal, what do you keep to yourself. And thinking about what teenagers might do with a place like that, a physical board rather than a cyber board. And thinking, yeah, I mean, I write crime fiction, you're kind of always looking for somewhere that you can throw a dead body in there. And thinking, what if a teenager used a place like this to reveal what he or she knew about a murder? So that's where the book came out of.
The character of Holly, who is Frank Mackey's teenage daughter, we read about them in your novel, Faithful Place. Did you know at that time that you would come back to these characters?
No, I didn't have a clue. I liked writing Holly a lot because she was 9 in Faithful Place, and she's smart, she's devious, she's loyal and loving, she's highly independent, and I thought that would make for a really interesting person. And as I started thinking about Secret Place and about this idea of teenagers and how much secrets mean to them, it occurred to me that Holly would actually be the perfect age for this at this stage. She would be just about 16 now. And thinking she would also, well, she has connections to the police, not only through her father, but through Stephen Morant, who she met through the events of Faithful Place. And he would be the perfect person for her to take a postcard to if she should find such a thing and if she wanted to get the police involved. And so she and her new friends, her teenage group of friends, kind of evolved out of that.
And I want to get into more of the story in a moment, but it does seem as though you are creating this wonderful cast of characters that you can go to, that you're getting quite a roster.
Yeah, it's developing. This wasn't the plan. I don't have a plan originally. I just kind of wing it and hope there's a book there next time. But it is developing. The Dublin Murder Squad world is kind of developing into a not quite a community, but a world of its own. And that, from a writer's point of view, that's a really good thing to have on tap. Because when I started thinking about this book and about secrets and how much our secrets kind of go towards our identity, towards making us who we are. And from there, and from the idea of teenagers, obviously I started thinking, well, maybe this is a book with, at its heart, the idea of who are you? How do you define who you are? How do you decide who's allowed to define who you are? And from there, that kind of naturally led to Stephen, because when he shows up in Faithful Place, he very much allows Frank Mackey, the narrator of that book, to push him into doing exactly what Frank wants. Stephen's not, he doesn't have a very strong sense of who he is. He's a people pleaser. He's quite malleable. And so I realized that he was actually the perfect person, not just in plot terms, because Holly would bring him the card, but also in thematic terms. He was the perfect person to be the narrator of a book about identity and secrets and self-definition.
So there's a photo on the card that shows a boy who is found murdered and the grounds of this girls' boarding school, St. Kilda's School, in the suburbs of Dublin. And the caption on the card says, "I know who killed him." So with that information, then, we start this in place of, as you say, you have to have the dead body. But are you interested, are you as interested in that boy who has died as you are in the people who are solving the crime of how that boy was killed?
I started out with him not being as clear in my head as a lot of the other characters. He kind of developed for me gradually over the course of the book as I started to realize that this fever pitch world that teenagers inhabit, and where they're all fighting to figure out, again, who they are and who's going to be allowed to decide that. Is it your peers? Is it authority? Is it the media? Is it your teacher? Who is going to be allowed to decide that? That all these questions applied not just to the kind of tangled, tight network of girls within St. Kilda's, and not just to the detectives investigating the murder, but they also applied to him. I mean, Chris is, he's a handsome, popular guy, and in a way, that has made him the subject of a lot of people's projections. People think they know who he is, and he's been forced into a mold that may or may not fit him. And one storyline of the book arcs back over the 18 months before the present time action of the investigation and shows the events leading up to the murder. And as those events unfold, I started realizing, and hopefully, you know, it'll become clear to readers as well, that he is fighting to find a secret place of his own in which he can find out who he actually is. He can try to experiment with different sides of himself and see which one is the true one. And that, unfortunately for him, this backfires and does not go well. But yeah, I started out much more interested in the people who might have killed him and in how their relationships work, and found myself gradually with him developing almost like a Polaroid, with him becoming more interesting as I went along.
I've talked to many mystery writers and asked them this question, and I'm always fascinated by the variety of answers. But do you feel that you could take these characters and these ideas and put them into any setting, or is Dublin and the region you're writing about integral to the book and to the series?
For me, it's integral. Partly this is just for practical reasons, because I think the setting of a book is what's going to give it its texture to a large extent, your knowledge of that setting. And this is the only city that I know well enough where I know, okay, I want my detectives to go to a pub for a pint after a horrible long day.
Right.
And I want this to be a pub. They're looking for somewhere kind of grungy, but not too dodgy, because otherwise, you know, nobody will want them there. But I want it to be this kind of pub, and I want it to be open these hours. And here in Dublin, I know what pub I'm talking about. Whereas if I set one of these books in Boston, for example, I have no idea which pub has what connotations, which road, if I say that somebody lives on Road X, what connotations does that have? I don't know those tiny things that give it the texture about any other city than Dublin. And I think once you start writing, especially if you're writing crime, the fabric of the society you're living in, that's going to seep into the books, because crime of all genres, you're talking about murder, which happens in every time and place, but the specifics of it are very much shaped by the time and place, like the priorities, the needs, the fears of the specific society where you're writing. Murder doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens because somebody wants something badly enough, or is terrified enough of something, or is in some way at an intense enough pitch that they're willing to kill. And in different societies, different things will take you to that place. And so I think that the deepest priorities and needs and fears of a society are going to seep through in crime books, maybe almost more than in other genres.
And yet you're writing about a city, and you're writing about a city, the city of Dublin, which is a large city. And yet there is that atmospheric quality where it is also, it has many small town attributes.
Very much. Well, that's Dublin, very much so. It's kind of a collection of villages that have just sort of spread their way into being a big city. And it's one of the nice things about it. It's one of the things I really like. I mean, it's got much bigger and more diverse over the last 2 years, but you still can't go into town without running into somebody you know.
And that works very well for what you're doing, because it gives an intimacy to the characters and to the story.
Yeah, very much so. And I like books like that that have a kind of tight feeling to them, which it was a bit hard in this one, which, you know, it's about teenage girls. Logically, a huge part of this book would take place on the internet, on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and whatever else.
Yeah, a lot of texting in this book.
Texting there is. They spend half their lives, they must have some kind of terrible carpal tunnel syndrome in their thumbs or something from all that texting. But yeah, I kept the internet out of it, because that for me diffuses the more intimate atmosphere that you get both from setting a book in Dublin, where everybody knows, if they don't know you, they know your cousin, you know, and also the atmosphere that you get from setting a book in a private girls' boarding school where the world is very enclosed. And I think throwing the internet in there would have diffused that and ruined that boundary that I'd set up. So I had to find ways to keep the internet out of this book.
Is cozy a dirty word to you?
No, as a descriptor for mystery. No, I wouldn't have thought that what I'm doing necessarily falls into that, but it definitely isn't one of the mysteries where the focus is on the actual physical crime.
Right.
That's not the bit that I'm most interested in. And I mean, I read books where there are much more gory murders and whatever else in them, but it's not what I'm most interested in writing about. I'm more interested in the mental process that goes into taking somebody to the point where they'll kill. And it's also the reason why I very seldom write evil characters, right? Evil villains, because there's no mystery there. And why does an evil person do something evil? They didn't, you know, because. Whereas, why does somebody who's not evil, who's capable of compassion and empathy and love, and who does not enjoy cruelty, does not enjoy inflicting pain, what takes somebody like that to the point where they feel like it's not only possible but necessary to kill somebody else? I think that's much more interesting. So I don't know. I mean, does that fit under the cozy label, or I'm not sure quite how it's defined.
Well, I don't know that it is. I think that it's, what's fascinating about your work is that there is a comfortable quality to it, and because it isn't overly gory, it's very character centric, and you get to know these people, and they're very enjoyable people to spend time with.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. Because they're long books, you know. People are going to invest
good.
As much time into them. They're going to spend time with these characters, so I hope they're enjoyable.
Tana French is the author of the brand new The Secret Place. It is out this week. It's in stores, and it is really terrific, a wonderful addition to the series. It's entitled The Secret Place, published by Viking. Tana French, always a pleasure having you on the program. I can't wait to have you back for the next one.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's a pleasure.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, The Secret Place by Tana French, published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.